Morning. We're just sharing some truth from the Word of God this morning, hopefully to be an encouragement to somebody, to faith in God. You know, there's hope. A lot of people today, they don't have hope in their heart. They're trying drugs. They're trying other things or, drink and things, trying to satisfy an inner need. You know, that need is met in Jesus Christ. Nobody satisfies like Jesus Christ. The water that is the water of life is a water that quenches our thirst in our innermost being. I praise God for the love of God for us. One of the things that God's given to us is a precious book, the Bible. And in there's some precious truth that encourages us to faith. You know, some people feel like, Ben, I can never believe in God. How does somebody come to faith in God? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In Isaiah 53, there's a precious prophecy that God's given, written 650 years before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there it says in Isaiah 53, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. I think probably most people understand today that Jesus Christ is not somebody that's loved by the majority of people. A lot of people hate Jesus Christ. They take the name of Jesus and you'll hear it at sporting occasions or things like that, or if somebody hurts themselves, they'll take the name of Jesus Christ, they'll use it as a curse word. But that Jesus is a Jesus that loves us. He's a Jesus that cares for us. And there in that text, Isaiah 53, 650 years before the cross, 650 years before Jesus Christ came, it says that he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. There would be very few people today in this area right now that would step up and say, Ben, I love Jesus. I stand with Jesus. I'm for Jesus. And that's just the way it is. That's the way it's always been, that the vast majority of people despise the Christ, despise the Son of God, are against Jesus. And that's what God said in his word. He said that back in Isaiah 53. And then it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And so even though mankind is against Jesus and they hate Jesus, yet that same Jesus was the one that took their suffering, that took their beating, that took their agony, that took their even their sin upon him on the cross. He was crucified for them. And despite that, there's, again, tons of people in this world today, they don't even care about that. You know, and many of them would accuse God and say, God, you don't love me, you don't care about me. If there is a God, he must hate me or something like that. And they refuse to look at the cross and see the love of God. The Bible says it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ took our suffering. He took the abuse on the cross because Jesus Christ loves us. The Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus says he died on that cross. He died for you. He died for me. He paid the price for our sin because he loved us. And again, the Bible, 650 years before Christ came, is speaking about that event. And it says that people will look at that. They'll see what Jesus Christ did. And rather than embracing the Christ and believing in the Christ and what he did as he died on the cross for their sin, that they would despise him for that. And so it goes on to say, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. 650 years before the cross, it said that Jesus Christ would be crucified. In the Bible, it said that he would be whipped. Jesus Christ was whipped. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. It's a whip that has nine sharp strands. Are strands on it with sharp pieces of glass and metal that are there and bone and things like that that would rip into that person's back and their flesh. And Jesus Christ, his back was whipped for us. And the Bible says, with his stripes we are healed. With the abuse that Jesus Christ took, God made a way for man to be forgiven. Man has a need that cannot be met outside of God. The need is the fact that we're sinners and that the punishment for our sin is eternal death and hell. That sin is destroying so many people in our world today. If you look around at your friends, and consider what's the thing that is most hurtful in their life, the thing that is destroying them, that is destroying others that you know about. It's sin. Sin is destructive. A lot of people like to drink. Drink just abuses people. It makes them out of their mind. It makes them do things that they would never do if they were sober. It wastes their money. It wastes their health. It's destroying them. You know, think about the things that are other sins, fornication and things like that. You have sexual disease and you've got guilt. You've got broken families because of adultery and because of fornication. You've got people that are just living together instead of covenanting with one another in marriage. And it's destroying the trust that ought to be there in that relationship if they would enter into a covenant relationship before God to be married. That would be strong, but it's not strong. It's weak because they have violated God's law and sin. It hurts the family. Many young people today are growing up in broken homes. And they're hurting because of it, because their parents have divorced, or maybe they were never married and they separated, and the home is all torn apart. Why? Because of sin. Bible speaks about that sin as being something that is destructive in our lives today. It's also destructive to our life for eternity. And that sin stain is not something that we can do anything about. The Bible says, though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. And God's not trying to be mean to us. He's just saying this. There's nothing you can do to get rid of your sin. The Bible tells us that though thou, you know, by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Nobody is declared righteous by God today because they're a religious person. Somebody could become a religious person. They could go to some great cathedral. They could pretend to kind of worship God and have maybe some feeling associated with that. But all of that does nothing to purify the soul. Somebody could, you know, say, I'm gonna do good stuff from now on. I've done all these bad stuff in my life, but I'm just going to do a bunch of good works. But that does nothing to get rid of our sin. Our transgressions, the Bible says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. And it's not because God doesn't appreciate when somebody does something good. It's that it does not do anything to get rid of our sin. The only thing that can take away sin is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. That's why there's the cross. You might wonder, Ben, what's the cross all about? Why did Jesus Christ go and get crucified? What's that all about? It's all about the fact that our sin is punishable by death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. God told Adam and Eve, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The reason there's death, sorrow, sickness, physically and eternally damnation is because of man's transgression against God. Therefore, God had to make a way to judicially forgive us. He did that through the Lord Jesus Christ. While we are yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. He paid the price for us on the cross for our sin. You praise God for, again, a God that loves us that much, that would take the time and the care and the concern and the effort to go to the cross and to die for us. You know, praise God for his love. You know, today, do you know that love of God that is found in the book of Isaiah, as it speaks there in Isaiah chapter 53, again, saying he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. God took our sin. He put it on Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, and he nailed it to his cross. That means Jesus Christ died as if he was a sexual sinner. He died as if he was a liar. He died as if he was a thief. He died as if he was a murderer, because when Jesus Christ died, he died for us. He paid the price of our sin. Why? Because he loves us. A lot of people think today, God's against me. God is not against us. God is for us. But what God is against, he's against our sin. And you might say to me, Ben, why is it that God is so against sin? The reason God is so against sin is what separates us from God. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Our sin comes in between us and God. if you want to come to God, somebody has to come to God willing to be honest about their sin in the sight of a holy God, honest about the way they've transgressed and broken God's law, acknowledging that they need victory over that. They got to be delivered from that by the power of God. And if somebody desires that today, praise God. God desires to give that. Why? So that God could bring that person back into a right relationship with Him. God designed us to know Him in a personal way. He designed us so that we could have that relationship with Him, but our sin got in there. And again, we're talking about this prophecy in the Word of God, the book of Isaiah, that 650 years before the cross testified of what Jesus Christ would do for us as He would die for our sin. He did that because He loves us. Yet the Bible goes on to say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And then it goes on saying, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth he not his mouth. Jesus Christ, as he was crucified, did not defend himself. Jesus Christ, as he died for our sin, he did not say anything to try to get himself out of the cross. The Bible says he laid down his life for us all. You might think the Romans took Jesus Christ by force and they forced him onto the cross. The Bible says about Jesus, he could have called thousands of angels, 12 legions of angels. A legion of angels, if I remember right, is like 6,000 or 7,000 angels. Jesus Christ could have called 12 times that amount to come and deliver him from the cross, but he didn't, because he wanted to go to the cross, not because he likes to suffer, but because he wanted to suffer for us. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, if you want to know the love of God for you this morning, look at Calvary. See what Jesus Christ did as he died on the cross for your sin. And yet, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, people are going through this life and not even thinking about what the Savior did, not even thinking about his love, not even thinking about his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, and everything that he desires to give them, as he desires to give them everlasting life. There's nothing more valuable today than what God desires to give you. A lot of young people today, they want to get a good job. They want to have a big house. They want to have, you know, all these things. But the thing above all things that they need is the thing that God desires to give as a gift. It's found in the Word of God. It's found in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is God's forgiveness and God's gift of everlasting life. And if somebody goes through life and they got everything, and they became as wealthy as Elon Musk or Donald Trump or somebody like that, very wealthy, yet if they possessed all that and they did not have God's gift of everlasting life, they would die a pauper. They would die without anything that they could take into eternity. They would die and suffer eternal separation from God. And the thing today would be to be wise and to say, I want to live my life for that which is most valuable. I want to know the God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died for me and paid the price on the cross for my sin. And that's what life's all about. It's about knowing God. It's about walking with God. It's about having peace in our heart, joy in our spirit, you know, a strong marriage, a strong family, a strong life. And those things are built upon the Word of God. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A lot of people today don't fear God. It's not a mark of wisdom. It's a mark of folly. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is a person that turns himself away from the fountain of life, from the God that desires to give everything to them, turns away in unbelief from that which God can give. You'll praise God for some people today that kind of look around and go, hey, you know what? I'll think about God. I'll pick up a Bible. I'll start to read it. I'll think about what Jesus Christ did for me when he died on the cross for my sin. And if you were to ask me today and say, Ben, how can I come to faith in God? The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says in the end of the book of John, it says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. God desires you to come to faith. God desires to help you with that. How do you get there? Pick up a Bible. Begin to read it. Read the book of John. Read about the cross. Read about what the Savior suffered for you. Read about how he was unashamed to die in the way that they crucified him and mocked him and cursed him and blasphemed him. And listen, If people today maybe walk by and they've got a smirk on their face, they're laughing about who God is, don't think that that's original. That's been around from ages past. That's what they did when they took Jesus Christ and they crucified him. And yet, despite that, remember this, on the cross, Jesus Christ looked at those that mocked him, and he said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus Christ would love that person today and say, "Hey, I'm not against you, I'm for you. I died to take away your sin." And let me just say today, if you're hurting in your heart, you want to know where to turn, turn to God. Turn to the God that loves you. Turn to the God that sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. You know, that Savior that died is the God that created you. He's the God that designed you. The Bible says about Jesus, without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that you see that's created was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. There's a lot of religions that reject the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Bible teaches that he's God, that he's creator God, that he's worthy to be worshipped. You remember when Jesus Christ was born, the Magi came, the wise men, and they came, they worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ as a toddler. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, after he rose from the dead, the Bible says that they worshiped him. As he ascended up into heaven, they worshiped him. In Revelation, he is worshiped. In the book of Hebrews, God commands the angels to worship Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is God. If you read the Bible, you read about Jesus Christ forgiving sin. Nobody could forgive sin but God himself. Don't believe what is taught in some religions, that you could be forgiven by a priest or something like that. The Bible speaks nothing about that. What it speaks about is a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we come to God, and that as God, he has the ability to forgive our sins, as he did in his earthly ministry. Who has power to forgive sins but God alone? Jesus Christ is God. And as creator, designer, God, he entered into his creation. He became a man. The Bible says about him in the book of Philippians. It says that he was made in the likeness of man. Jesus Christ became a man. Why? So that he could die. Why? So that he could pay the price for our sin. Jesus Christ died as our substitute. There's a lot of religions that teach, if you say to God, "God, sorry," that God somehow forgives that person just because they said sorry. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that forgiveness is found in Christ alone. It's the substitution of Christ on the cross for us. The fact that he paid the price for our sin, that judicially God can forgive us, not because we say to God, "God, I'm sorry," but because of what Jesus Christ did when he paid the price for our sin, that our sin was punished in Christ. Your friend, do you know that your sins are forgiven? You know for sure that you're going to heaven. You know, that's what God desires us to have. God desires us to have not just hope in life, but hope in eternity, that when we stand before him, that God will allow us into glory because we have Christ in our heart. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have everlasting life." God desires you to know that. God desires you to have peace. Listen, nobody's going to come to God on accident. I've had atheists say to me, "Ben, you know, if there's a God someday, he's going to accept me into heaven because I'm a good person." Well, the Bible says that that is not true, because a good person is biblically a sinless person, and there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What somebody has when they stand before God trusting in their goodness is a hopeless way to get into heaven. There's no way that somebody's going to go to heaven because they are a good person. Why? Because they have transgressed God's law. All God would have to do is call the law to account and say, "Law, tell me about Ben." And if it was just me standing there of myself, the law would just condemn me. But I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Have you ever done that? You might ask me, "Ben, how did you get saved?" Well, as a five-year-old, I was sitting in a church service. My dad was preaching a message on hell. I was just a kid, but I listened to my dad speak about hell, that's eternal, that it's separation from God, that it's a fire, that the sounds that you hear in hell are weeping and gnashing of teeth. And as I listened to that service, nobody had to tell me that I was a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that I was on my way to hell. But I went down to my dad's study and said, "Dad, I'd like to get saved." Dad showed me what Jesus Christ did when he died on the cross for my sin, that he paid the price for my sin. As a little boy, I bowed my head and I said something like this, "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. Will you please forgive me of my sin and save me? And I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and God gave me his gift of everlasting life. And I could tell you, my friend, today that I know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Do you? Do you? You know for sure that if you're to stand before God, God would say to you, come on into my paradise, my heaven that was created for you. You know, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do you know that you're going to that place? Do you know that you're going to that place of eternal glory, the glory of God, and God being the light of it, and that awesomeness that you read about in the book of Revelation that we can't even fully maybe even comprehend as in our finiteness, but it's there for us. The Bible speaks about it, but there are two places where somebody goes when they die. And I'll tell you this, there's not a third place for an atheist. A lot of people say, Ben, when I die, I'm going in the grave. That's it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. And there is either a heaven or a hell, or there is not a heaven and a hell. There is either a God or there is no God. But God does not disappear, and heaven and hell do not disappear because somebody does not believe in them. People could laugh about it, they could mock it, they could say whatever they wanted to say about it, but God doesn't in heaven get worried about that, get afraid about that. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 2 that God is absolutely not bothered by that, other than the fact that he wants to save mankind. But it says this: why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Listen, the government that we have in many of our modern societies is a government that's rejecting God. It's a government that's turning its back on God. Look at the legislation that's before the parliament here at Holyrood right now, and it's wicked and vile, and decisions that the government is making, basically saying there is no morality, and there is no such thing as gender identity in reality, that God created us with male and female, and there's a confusion that's taking place in government. And basically, a lot of government, a lot of education, is saying, let's cast off the restraints, let's cast off God. And God says, hey, you know, I know that's going to happen. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And very sadly today, I can tell you that there is judgment coming. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. It's called the tribulation time period. But there is a day coming. And when the Bible speaks about that, interestingly, it says that Israel's going to be back in the land. The Bible said it thousands of years ago, but we find today that Israel is back in the land. The Bible says about that time that there's going to be a man that rises up as the Antichrist. He's going to be a one-world government. There's going to be a one-world currency. People are going to buy and sell based on a mark that they have in their hand or in their forehead. Listen, it's happening right now. The Bible speaks about it ahead of time, but you can verify it. It's happening. You know, we ought to stop looking in this world right now. We have over 7.5 billion people. We're going to have 8 billion people by 2030. There's more people alive today than have ever lived. And there are people for whom Christ died. And God does not want you to enter into the tribulation. God wants you to enter into glory. God wants you to be saved. Again, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9-10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so somebody might say to me, Ben, how do I get to heaven? Well, you can't get to heaven with your sin. You've got to have your sin taken care of. The only way to remove your sin is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ did is he died on the cross for your sin. And when you do that, that's what that verse is speaking about, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, praise God. God has promised that he can't lie. And then it goes on to say this, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The righteousness that we need to go to heaven is imputed to us. It's given to us as a gift from God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and God gives us his gift of everlasting life. Again, do you know today that if you die, you go to heaven? God desires you to know that good work that our Savior has done on the cross for you. Father, my prayer would be today that the Spirit of God would touch the heart of somebody that's walking past and they would begin to think about God. And Father, I pray that they find the joy that we have as believers of knowing that our sin is forgiven, knowing that we have God's gift of everlasting life, knowing that there is a God. Father, it's hopeless. Life is hopeless if there is no God, but praise God, that's not true. But Father, there's people living like that, and they are hopeless in their heart. They are hopeless in their life, but Father, I just pray that you reach out to them today, that they know that there's a God in heaven that loves them, that His Son died for them. And Father, I pray they be born again and receive God's gift of everlasting life. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.